Hey, 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 it's me again, Army veteran CJ Elliott with the regular podcast, episode number 2. This episode, I had one of my best buddies, Corey, over, and him and his wife, Sophia, came over, and we went to the fair. We had a really good time. I got a burger and a brew, and we got to pet some pigs and sheep and a bunch of other wildlife that was there. And it was a really good time. It was my first time going to the Alaska State Fair. We walked there from our house because we're so close. It's nice avoiding the traffic. But yeah, I had Ryder over and or Corey, and we discussed a lot of things. We've been roommates forever together. Spent most of our time together in Alaska as roommates. So it was a lot of fun having them over and just shooting the shit with them. So here's our podcast. And I hope you like it. The regular podcast with CJ Elliott, episode number 2. It's on. It's recording.
Sneak some questions of them.
Yeah, all right. So, this is regular podcast. I'm back with CJ Elliott. And I got one of my very best buddies here, Army buddies. We're stationed in Alaska together for both of our Army careers. A good, 6 years, you'd say?
Yeah.
Something like that. 5.5, 6 years together.
2005 to 2011.
Yeah, roommates almost the entire time. Afghanistan, Iraq, and in the barracks. So I'm going to let Corey take it away and ask him an initial question I like to ask everybody. Why did you join the military?
Because I wanted adventure.
Adventure?
Yeah.
Thrill seeking is probably boring. Well, where did you grow up, first of all?
20 miles north of Syracuse, New York.
New York.
Right on Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
A little town called Parrish. And it's just a bunch of burnouts and pregnant chicks in my high school. Nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. No real job market.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Black Hawk Down a bunch of times. And I thought the Rangers were badass.
Yeah.
So I joined the military.
Cool. And you just signed up? There wasn't like a recruiter or anybody that like helped you out?
Yeah. Actually, a Marine recruiter came
to
my school first, and I was in the Marine DIP program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I seen Black Hawk Down, and I thought the Rangers were cool. I wanted to be a Ranger, and I realized they were Army. So then I stopped going to my little Marine hangouts.
Yeah, you want to do Army because they have the Rangers.
Yeah, went and talked to the Army recruiter.
Right.
Got Ranger put in my contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you signed up early. You're 17, right?
Yep, 17.
Okay. And I see you eyeing your beer right now. You need it to get open. Let me take a quick second here, ladies and gentlemen. The man needs his beer open, so you know how that is. All right.
Good to go. Thank
Back
you.
In action.
Thanks for
so that. You joined early. You were 17 when you joined, correct?
17.
And when you joined, did you want airborne or RIP, any of that in your contract initially? Did you ask for any of that, or is that later?
Well, the RIP is Ranger Indoctrination Program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I wanted originally was Ranger.
So you had that on your initial contract.
But when I went to go talk to the recruiters and they were signing up my contract, they let me know that Rangers were airborne. So in order to go Ranger, I'd have to go airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that put in my contract, and then they told me that the only openings they were hurting on for Ranger, the only thing spots they need to fill were medics and mechanics.
Mechanics, yeah.
So they said if I wanted to go Ranger, I'd have to be airborne and either go medic or mechanic.
And you chose mechanic. Why did you choose mechanic?
I didn't want to deal with blood and guts.
Didn't want to deal with people getting blown up, rather fix vehicles.
So I joined mechanic. I went mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then I did my mechanic school and then airborne school.
So you went to basic training, you did that.
Basic training.
Then you went to AIT.
Mechanic school.
Which was basically learning to fix your trucks. And then
I went
from
to
there,
airborne school. Where I learned how to jump out of planes.
Learned how to jump out of perfectly good airplanes.
And then I went to RIP.
And then you went to RIP to try to be your Ranger.
Special ops.
Mm-hmm. And you almost made it all the way through, but.
Almost.
What happened? You want to go there or?
Yeah, I failed 3 days before graduation. I failed my swim test.
Swim test? They don't even have that anymore now.
No, they don't.
Say something like that?
Nope.
What happened? Like you?
Well, there was three events for the swim test. There was 3 meters high, rough 15-foot diving board,
mm-hmm.
and they push you off blindfolded with all your gear, 70-pound rucksack full of stuff, and a fake rubber M16. And they push you off the diving board blindfolded, and you have to keep all your equipment inside to swim to the side of the pool. So we did that first, and I did that fine.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second event was they push you in the water
mm-hmm.
with all your gear on, and you have to stay submerged and jettison your equipment underwater without coming back up.
Yeah.
And then climb out. And I did that one. And then the third event was they had just have you stand with your back to the pool
mm-hmm.
and the rubber weapon, which is like 10, 11 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't tell you when they're going to push you. They just randomly push you in the pool. And then you have to swim the length of the pool and back holding the weapon out of the water. And that one, I made it to the pool. I made it to one end, and then on the way back, I sank.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't give retries, so.
So it's just that one time yep. fail, and you're out of there.
Yep. One thing, you screw up, you're gone.
Okay.
And then I got orders to Alaska.
So then from there, you went to the beautiful state of Alaska, which we're in right now. Okay, well, went to Alaska, and then what's that first, when you first get there, like in processing, and you're just kind of stuck to a random unit?
Yeah.
And then you went to Echo Company, was that the company?
Yeah, Echo 501st.
Yeah, Echo at first.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I went there for like a week or something, met you there. Mm-hmm. And then we got drafted to old Bravo Company.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old BCO. We were pretty good company. It seemed like every other company would be getting in trouble with DUIs and drugs and everything else, but we were always clean for the most part. Even though people I know were sneaking crap left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and how did we become roommates? You had a big-ass room, and I had musical equipment, and I had a small-ass room.
Yeah.
So I pretty much just, I don't know, you're just a nice guy. And I was like, hey, man, you got this space. How about you let me move in? How do you remember that?
That's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah.
I think I had the room to myself.
Yeah, like 100 DVDs. Here's a DVD guy. People coming in.
Yeah.
Borrowing your stuff.
I had one of the biggest rooms in the barracks to myself. And I was hanging out with Slattery.
Yeah.
And Turner.
Mm-hmm. Good old
and
Turner.
And you came in with all your gear. Because Turner said he, or Slat, somebody said they knew guy down the hall that played guitar. So you came and brought all your gear and jammed, and then at the end of the night, you asked if you could move in.
Yeah, that's cool. And you said yes, because you're just the nice guy back then, didn't say no to anybody. And we've been pals ever since. All right, so shortly after getting to Alaska, a year or two or whatever it was, then we went to Iraq.
Yeah, a year and a half.
And how was your initial thoughts before you deployed to Iraq? Was it like, no big deal, this is what I was expecting?
I thought it was pretty crazy that we were actually finally going to war.
You thought you might not actually have to go? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Then we actually got there and it was just finally sank in that we were actually at war.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, it wasn't... Which is what I thought it was going to be. It's pretty, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Just kind of got relaxed and complacent. Well, there's still rockets initially in the mortars when we got there right away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So it wasn't
But before that, it wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Like in Kuwait.
You all right there? You got a sore throat? Need some brew to quench it?
I think so.
All right. So in Kuwait, before we got to Iraq, it was like, we're sitting around
Kuwait,
every single day not doing anything.
Yeah, Kuwait,
anything.
We just go to the DFAC and
we
eat
go to
all
the
time.
DFAC, go to the gym.
And BS in the tent. And
not
go to
doing
the gym.
All day, sleep 12 hours
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, so seemed like vacation.
Yeah, it did.
And then once we got to actual Iraq and the rockets started coming in, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, we're like, oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
What'd I sign up for?
This is going to suck. Could
yeah.
just die any day. Fob Kel Su, where we stayed, that was like one of the most rocketed or bordered.
I think it was the most dangerous
fob of all time or something crazy. I don't have to look up the facts there. I don't know, don't quote me on it, but it was up there. So we got Mortar Lie. I talked about it in my last podcast, and one of the stories we brought up is how Corey came into the bunker butt-ass naked one time. So I'd like to have him actually cover the story, if you will. Corey?
Yeah. I was just a normal night. Got off work late.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the shower, and I hear this whistle.
Something like that?
Yeah, and then a big boom.
Yeah.
And it actually landed on the can, or shipping containers that were renovated into little apartments.
Mm-hmm. And your initial thoughts were like, do I finish my shower, or...
Yeah, so it hit the can next to us, and all the lights fell down.
Mm-hmm. They fell down? What do you mean, like, out of the shower?
Yeah, the lights fell out of the ceiling that were hanging.
Cool.
And the shower heads were falling off.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, and so I knew it was a rocket, and I was like, shit, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even,
grab anything at all?
Yeah, and it's like getting out of the shower, there were still people getting dressed. And I was like, you guys are fucking crazy. So I didn't grab my towel, I didn't grab nothing, so I just ran straight to the bunker.
Yeah.
Naked.
Naked, nothing. Did you have a loofah, I heard you had in the story?
Yeah, just a loofah.
Just a loofah, is that it?
Yeah, because I had it wrapped around my wrist.
Okay. And then you just got to the bunker, and there was females along with males.
Yeah, there was, yeah. Just, hey, there was everybody.
How you doing? Is that awkward at all? War zone, rockets coming in, you're there butt-ass naked, everyone else.
Well, it was dark, so no one knew.
Yeah. No, well, I remember that. Wasn't the flashlights
so going? I didn't say anything at first, but then they said they were going to do a head count with the flashlights. Yeah. I was like, I had to let them know. I was like, don't shine it on me, I'm naked.
Don't shine it over here, I'm butt-ass naked. That's funny.
So they shined it on me just to be dicks.
Yeah. That must have been a little embarrassing. Big deal.
No.
It's just a cool story you got now.
Yeah, the guy ran naked to the bunker. And then after the all clear was sounded.
Yeah.
Well, after they did their head count before the all clear, some guy came up to the bunker. Asked if anyone left their clothes in the bunker, and it was me, so I finally got dressed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was naked for a good 45 minutes in the bunker.
Yeah, that's awesome. One spontaneous thought I just had, remembered that I didn't write down yet, is the Haji Mart we had there. It was actually really cool. They had, the local nationals or the local Iraqi people were able to come on to base, and they had everything for sale, like any DVD bootleg you could imagine, full, like, box sets. Season 1 through 9 of every single show out there before there was Netflix and before they had actual real box sets out there. So that was actually kept us entertained. And they had Xboxes modded with, you can get like, play any single game for like $1. I don't know. It was a lot of,
yeah.
A lot of cool stuff that they had. That was fun to blow all your money at. I don't know. Fun little thought. Anyways, another story that Corey was involved in was when the DFAT got hit. Right? Was that the same shrapnel story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I told that another story in the last podcast. And so go ahead and if you want, tell that one. The shrapnel almost killing
yeah. You. We were, since the infantry guys were out a lot, they made a QRF team, which stands for Quick Reaction Force. Mm-hmm. When we get rocketed, they send a team out to
first on the scene.
Hurry up, find the guys. And so since all the infantry was always busy, they had QRF backup. It was other people. So they picked from the medics and mechanics and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the ones that got selected to be on the QRF. And I was a gunner, 50 cal gunner. And then one morning we were going to do a patrol outside the wire.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to go get breakfast at the DFAC. And one person had to stay out and... with the trucks, watch the guns. So I volunteered while everyone else went in and ate, and they were going to bring me back a to-go plate.
Yeah.
So I was in there, just chilling, and then Sergeant Q, it's E7, you think it was our platoon sergeant?
Yeah.
He worked in the shop office, something. But
high up, ranking guy, in charge of us.
Yeah, he came out and just said, hey, Corey, somebody's bringing you out a plate in a minute, but... So let's do a radio check. He said, get down from the turret and do a radio check with me. So I got down and was doing a radio check. And as I was doing the check with him, we heard a whistle. And then next thing you know, I was on the ground.
Yeah.
So I just finally opened my eyes and looked and seen smoke that the defect had been hit, blew the roof off.
Wow.
So my initial reaction was just get in the truck because they're armored.
Yeah, armored vehicles. You can't get messed with in there.
Yeah, I was shaking like crazy. And then once I finally got my bearings together, I realized what was going on. Then I started worrying about all the buddies that were on QRF with me inside the building. But then they all started running out, and then we got a head count, and it was fine. And then somebody climbed up on top of the truck when we started getting ready to go, and they're like, holy crap, there's a huge piece of metal up here in the truck you're in, Corey. Where we were standing, there's a huge piece of the roof that's still glowing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was up in the turret. So Sergeant Q never would have told me to get down and do a radio check.
Did you get a CAV for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the combat action badge. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I couldn't remember if you got one for that or not.
Yeah, so we realized that if I would have been there, if you never would have came out and said, get down out of that turret, do a radio check, would have got hit with a huge 15-pound piece of razor-sharp metal.
Yeah.
So they hung it up at our CP, our command post.
Where the top dogs.
Yeah, they drilled it to the wall with a little note of where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind people. Yeah.
I almost died. Look at the iron memories.
Yep.
Awesome. Another thing we went through, guard tower. That was kind of odd. You'd have to, there's what, two shifts or three shifts?
Three 8-hour shifts.
3 8-hour shifts. And you'd walk to the, what was it called? I don't know the area to get
the main gate or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, no, the area where they give you chow or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to go meet there.
Yeah, I forgot what
that was called. I don't know, the meetup place. We'll call it that. And they loaded you up on a 5-ton flatbed truck. And then they took you to your tower one by one, or two by two. You did it in pairs. And then you'd sit in your tower for 8 hours and just look at absolutely nothing. And make sure, I don't know, that the local nationals weren't fucking sheep or doing anything.
It was planting IEDs.
Yeah, making sure they're not up to nothing, where most of the towers are pointed at farmland and you didn't see anything anyway. And occasionally you got to do weapons checks, so that was fun. Shoot off 50 cal or whatever at nothing, and you could catch things on fire accidentally, and that'd be entertaining. Yeah, you'd be so tired, they're so bored, you'd drink like 7-8 energy drinks to stay awake. And you couldn't pass out, because if you did, there'd be higher ranking people checking on you with night vision goggles if it was dark out. And if you got caught, it was your ass. So you'd force yourself to stay up any way possible, looking at nothing for weeks. Yeah. What was your take on that, Corey?
Yeah, guard tower sucked.
Yeah, it was miserable. It was watching TV of nothing.
Yeah, luckily I was in Iraq. I was on Tower 5. And then I got switched to 12. But both the towers were way out, and they were on opposite ends of the fob, the ones that no one ever went to. So you could pretty much sleep if you wanted to, unlike the other one.
They didn't bother you out there.
Yeah, not too many people came out there. Okay. So there was nothing out there. We couldn't. It was just 8 hours of trying to BS with the other guy and not fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. But I was on local National Guard most of the time, but you actually worked on trucks the majority of the time, am I correct, or was it split up between other things?
Yeah.
What was your duty like most of the time out there?
Yeah, we were there for 15 months. Mm-hmm. I think for the first 6 or 7 months I was in the motor pool, and then I complained that they were working me all the time while everyone else got to sham out on tower guard.
So you actually wanted to go on tower guard?
Yeah, so I volunteered for it.
And that's funny.
I got sent to tower guard for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I spent 4 weeks on tower 5 and then 2 weeks on... 1 week on tower 12 and then a week on the main gate where you actually do searches. When the local nationals come in to work, you have to search their... make sure they don't have any weapons. Yeah. And they actually mentioned you all the time.
In a good way, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they loved you.
Love me.
Yeah, Elliot, good.
Yeah, okay.
But,
snuck in some good whiskey sometime.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, I got us some whiskey.
Yeah. It's cool we could talk about
about that because you weren't on Tower Guard.
Five Kings or something.
Yeah, that was all me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that
like
for you.
Whiskey in a can. Was it even mixed or was it just like
straight up? No, it was just straight up whiskey in a can.
We like taped it to our air conditioner to get it cold enough to drink.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Because I became friends with one of the guys who used to come through the gate. We'd always laugh and joke, and he kind of spoke broken English, but we had conversations. And I gave him a bag of beef jerky that I had from the
beef
defect.
Jerky?
Yeah, Jack Link's beef jerky.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he said he was going to bring me something in return. So the next day when he came back with his gravel that they would truck onto the fob and they would use for construction, he came in with his dump truck full of gravel, and he walked into the search area to be searched personally. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go out with a wand and a mirror that goes underneath the truck and scan the truck, make sure there's no bombs. And we passed each other, as he was going to the personnel check and I was going to his truck,
he
said, "Check behind the passenger seat."
Ooh.
So I did my search, and then I checked behind the passenger seat.
Some goodies.
There was a grocery bag with 3 or 4 cans of this 12-ounce canned whiskey.
Who else got it? Because he had said he had like 3 or 4. Who did you give them else to?
Remember? I think I gave Neely one. And Carter had, because Carter was in on it too. Yeah. Glenn Carter, another one of our buddies.
Ooh, he threw his name under the bus. I think he's still in, so now he's... Sorry, Carter.
Sorry when this hits iTunes, buddy. But
that was cool.
We don't like him anymore anyways.
Oh, we don't.
But anyways, he was in on it too, so he kept his 2 cans to himself. That was the deal. He got 2, I got 2.
Okay.
And I gave one to Paul, and then me and you drank ours.
Yeah, I should ask Paul about it.
And then side story.
Side note.
I actually wanted to do Tower Guard for the... This is a story I forgot to add.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to do Tower Guard for the longest time.
Huh?
But as I was working on that, the gate, right after I got the whiskey, there was this guy who always used to steal my lunch.
Steal your lunch like a bully?
Yeah, because when you're a Tower Guard, you don't have the luxury to go to the chow hall with everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to get brought to-go plates.
Yeah, they bring
and
you
then,
to-go plates.
Yeah, whenever you're relieved from your duty from one of your buddies, you can eat.
Which is just a plate from the food hall, the defect.
Yeah, it's a to-go plate.
Of whatever they end
box.
Up giving you. It could be full of cookies or junk food. Or
yeah, whatever the nice person wants to give you.
For you. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Thanks for explaining that, because I don't know.
Mm.
But, yeah. So they bring us our plates, and for like a week straight, this guy, and sometimes they'd be nice and they bring Rippets, which was the energy drink.
Yeah, our energy drinks.
Everyone loved them. So this guy would always, I would be busy, you know, doing guard, and they would have the plates stuck out. And I was always the last guy to, I'd always said I'd eat last,
because
you had to like rotate out who would eat. And so by the time I got there, the plate was gone. It was always gone.
Yeah.
And somebody said that one of the Hodges, one of the local nationals, would steal it. So then I started catching the guy. I caught him a couple times, leaving with my stuff. So I told the guy in charge about it, that he's stealing my lunch.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, we'll look into it."
Look into it.
But you're standing out there in 120 degree weather for 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
Get hungry. So I was getting irritated.
It's going to piss you off.
One day I was actually working the gate, and they're like, "Hey, Corey, you always wait for everyone to eat last. Like, food just showed up. Like, you can go. You can go first." I was like, "Okay." So I was getting ready to go eat, but then they're like, "Oh, hold on, get back on the gate because there's a convoy coming through." And so I physically had to open up the gate.
Yeah,
I wasn't on the guard tower that day. So as I'm opening up the gate, letting the convoy through, I see the guy get out. From the
catch him red-handed.
Yeah, the guy who's always stealing the food. He was trying to leave.
Yeah.
He was trying to leave the base, but there was a convoy coming through, so he had to pull over.
Uh-huh.
So as he was waiting for the convoy to come through, he got out of his truck and he was going over and sifting through the to-go plates. And he decided he was gonna steal all the cookies.
Yeah, the cookie thief.
Yeah. And I was like,
hell no.
Yeah. It's like, this guy steals
you
my
lock and load on him
steals
or something?
My crap every day. Yeah, he steals my crap every day. I was like, I'm not gonna But I can't run after him because I was the only one on the gate.
Yeah.
So you can't leave the gate while the convoy's coming through. Mm-hmm. So I watched him steal my... He stole all the cookies, and then he went and got back in his truck because he was leaving. And I was like, you mother effer.
Yeah, you can swear. It's cool.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, you motherfucker. Yeah. I was like, you knew that I couldn't leave the gate, so you purposely came up and stole the cookies right in front of me.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the gates really, it takes a long time to close. So he was revving his engine, like, wait, as soon as the convoy came through, he was going to try to slip out the gate before I closed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I wouldn't have time to close it before he got out. So as soon as the convoy came through, he put his truck in gear. And at that point, I don't know, I was just, my blood was boiling, the fact that I've told him not to steal. And yeah, he keeps stealing. So yeah, I just lost it. As soon as the convoy came through, he revved his engine and tried leaving. Mm-hmm. So I just locked and loaded, and I stepped in front of his truck and aimed my gun at him.
Jeez.
And he slammed on the brakes. And then I opened up the door all angry, and once he seen that I meant business, he was like, I'm sorry, sir, I'm sorry. And apologizing, he gave the cookies back. And then I fired him, which I didn't even have the power to do. I was just angry, so I told him never to come back. He was fired. And then somebody ratted on me. I guess whoever was in the tower said that I was being a bully. I drew my weapon on a guy who was stealing stuff. And then the guy who's in charge, the SG, whatever, he heard about it and called our company to see if they what they wanted to do about it. And they just told him to take my weapon for the rest of the day, and they would send me back to the motor pool the next day. Yeah. And that's what happened. I got banned from...
Got banned from
Tower Guard. Tower Guard. That's locked and loaded awesome. On a cookie thief.
Yeah. Okay, well, typical day, like, so let's say a typical day while we're working in the motor pool, doing our actual job we're supposed to be doing. We'll wake up, when we wake up? 6:30 or...
Yeah.
6:30, do PT. PT is physical training, run around the fob for 5 miles or do push-ups and sit,
play the gym, puke,
or go to the gym, which sometimes we got to do. Good gym out there.
Yeah, got and a lot of people into the gym.
Yeah, another thing, I'll do a separate podcast later, but that's one of the places where I actually got into fitness. Well, yeah, we go to PT 6:30, be done around 7:30, shower, chit shave, eat, get to work, formation 8:50, 9, be accountability formation, I think.
Yeah.
Work from 9 to 11:30, 12 sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes if you're lucky, you get off like 8 p.m. It was always at least like a 12-hour day.
Yeah, long-ass day. And you work 2 weeks straight, 2 weeks, 1 day off, something like that, right? 2 weeks
yeah, they on. Started that like half, because it was, just real on the side.
Yeah.
No, but... It was originally a 12-month deployment, and then...
And they added a couple months.
6 months into it, they told us we were staying for 15 months. But, I don't even know what we were, Now I'm lost.
You're lost now?
Yeah. What were we even originally talking about?
We were talking about the schedule. You get off...
Yeah, okay.
8 p.m.
Well, I was trying to figure out why I went sidetracked.
And then 2 weeks
I sidetracked myself going sidetracked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're for like the first five, I think like, I'll say first 5 months there out of the 15 months, we didn't have days off. We were always complaining about it. We just worked straight through for the first 5 months.
Way too long,
And then they told us that we were getting extended. Like, well, instead of leaving in, because we're in 7 months, like instead of leaving in 7 months, now you guys are leaving in 10 months, which is, you know, pretty close to a year. So once they did that, then
like,
Sergeant Horton started. Yeah,
once in a while.
And Sergeant Horton's like, "Well, now since we're going to be here longer than I thought, you guys."
And that one was only if we were caught up on stuff. Like if it was busy as busy as fuck. No, we're working.
But the reason they mostly did it is because Sergeant Horton told us about it in our next deployment, which we'll talk about later, Afghanistan. But Sergeant Horton was always a dick. He was work. He was cool, but he liked to work people to death.
Yeah.
And then people
workhorse.
And people actually complained when they found out that we got extended for 3 more months because they're like, there's no way that we're going to survive with the way Sergeant Horton works us all the time. We're going to go crazy. So they told Sergeant Horton about it, and he knew that everyone was down in the dumps, that they had to work for the slave driver for the next 10 months. Yeah, so to boost morale, he said that if we busted our asses, that he would give us a day off for 2 weeks. And then we ended up with an A and B schedule. And, yeah, that's how the day's off. It's still work.
Then we got R&R, was what, 15, 2 weeks? 15 days, something like that?
Yep.
I just went and visited my folks in Michigan, and you actually went to Germany with Griffin and them, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Germany. I went to Germany for 10 days.
How was that?
Because we got 14 days total, and then after 10 days, they decided they want to go to Budapest, and I didn't see what the hell was in Budapest.
Yeah.
So I went back to I went to New York for 3 days, and then I came back to Germany.
You just went to see your folks for a few days, and then
because when you go on R&R, they only pay for a ticket to one destination and back.
Yeah. So you had to pay out of pocket for some of your journey there.
Yeah. So when I left Germany to go to New York, I had to pay out of pocket, but then I had to get back to Germany because my army bought ticket had me leaving.
That was your,
had me leaving out of Germany. So yeah, I went from Germany to New York, then New York back to Germany.
That must have been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but Germany was fun. Germany was fun. Yeah.
Any big memories from there?
From Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went with Will, who you guys met in the last podcast.
Last podcast, good
old me, Will, Chuck Gable, Kim, both Kim, the taller one, the taller Kim.
Yeah.
There was two Kims, I don't remember their names.
Yeah, small and big.
Yeah, small and big Kim, big and little kid. So it was me, Will, we met in the last podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Gable, Chuck, Kim, and then Watley, a buddy who we lost from cancer.
Rest in peace. Moment of silence. All right. Watley.
Okay. Anyways. Pouring out for the homies. Yeah. But yeah, and we could do a whole separate podcast just on this. I'll give two quick good memories. Two was Watley, the one who died. He was hitting on this Muslim chick who never had sex, and she was like 33 years old. And she ended up falling in love with him for the time we were in Germany, and he took her virginity, and then he didn't want anything to do with her. She went crazy and like put a hit out on us and stuff.
That's crazy.
And then the other one was I was pretty, I mean, you guys don't know me personally, but I used to be super, super nice. Never said no to anyone. So everyone wanted to go to a whorehouse except for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to wait in the cab and run the meter. And I didn't want to stand outside by myself because I didn't know anyone in Germany. So I ended up going in the whorehouse. And I was just sitting there. I had to pay to get in.
Just appreciating
the
ambiance.
Yeah, it was like a nice penthouse. They had like a big movie. They had a movie theater. And they
Did they have like booze or anything in there?
Yeah. And they even had a full buffet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the
kind of food.
It was like the Playboy Mansion. They had a chicken nuggets. But that was just like
legitimate food.
Yeah, they had like fast food on one end, and then on the other end, it was a steak, full steaks, like New York steak strips.
Oh wow, that's nice.
And shrimp.
Shrimp.
So I grabbed the thing of cocktail sauce and some shrimp, and
just kind of went down eating.
Yeah, I was just sitting at the bar, and like chicks kept coming up to me and hitting on me. And I was like, I don't want. I'm just here with my buddies. I'm like, oh, sure you are.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just here to eat shrimp, and then, I guess it almost. So I ended up getting some Cuban chick.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was my only experience at a whorehouse.
Cool.
Slept with a Cuban prostitute.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Round of applause for the working man.
But anyways.
Okay. So we deploy, leave, were a lot of work. And we came back for a year, 2 years, maybe?
We got back from Iraq November 2007.
Mm-hmm. And then when did
and then we
leave?
Left to for Afghanistan. March 2009. So we were back for 1 month in 2007, all of 2008, and then so we're back for about 15 months.
Yeah. And Afghanistan compared to Iraq, for us, for the support battalion, I don't know what it was like out in the fucking busting down doors, the infantry, all of them. It's probably a different story. But for us on FOB, we didn't get rocketed. Nothing happened. It was like a vacation. Besides the defect not being as good as in Iraq and the gym not being as good as Iraq, everything else was the complete opposite, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? I'm trying to explain how much more low-key it was.
In Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first first thing that was different was it was cold, which it didn't really get in Iraq.
Yeah, actually would snow. Yeah. And
well, it got desert cold in Iraq. It would get cold, but it wouldn't get like freezing. Like it felt like we were back in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first thing that was different
we
about
actually
Afghanistan.
Actually had to have winter stuff. It shocked me.
And then the next thing that I noticed was the next after PT was the how fast I got winded because the altitude we're at.
Yeah.
We're like 14,000 feet or something like that above sea level.
Mm-hmm. Noticeably different.
Yeah, than, it was
running around up there.
Yeah, it was like 3 miles up or 2 miles up.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, that was the next thing I noticed is how winded we got, which you never got in Iraq because you're at sea level.
Yeah.
And then once we actually started going to work and seeing how the daily schedule worked, yeah, it was a vacation compared to Iraq.
Yeah, we got days off once a week, maybe I wouldn't even say. No? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was once a week.
Yeah. Either Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. They get rotated.
And it was easy to get, days, like I remember a couple times people got days off for like their birthday and stuff. They didn't have
to go. Yeah, and it was laid back. Like,
yeah.
Me personally, my job was QAQC, which was, I can't even remember what it stood for, quality assurance, quality control. Yeah, I had to go out. Alpha Company was the company with all the vehicles. They were the truck drivers. And we were Bravo Company. We were the truck driver repair guys. We'd go over there and fix all their shit. So my job was every Monday morning, I had to go over and look at every piece of equipment they had with a couple of other workers. And we'd have to check out every little piece, make sure nothing was leaking up and down, and fill out this checklist. Which was pretty cool. I mean, it wasn't bad. Once you got in the rhythm of things, you just go do your thing. It was nice out. And then I'd get to go to lunch. Sergeant Horton was a big-ass gym guy like myself. So a lot of the times we get like 2 hours to go to the gym to work out. That was pretty fucking cool. And then go back, and then it was just regular doing the whole truck working thing till like 5 usually. And sometimes there'd be bigger jobs that would bust or break, and we'd have to work late. But everyone was friends, and it was super cool. And at night, when the job was done, Sergeant Morgan, he was a big skater, I was a big skater, Griff was a big skater, and we built like a little mini skate park in our motor pool. We'd smoke cigars together.
The SF guys gave us some ramps and stuff.
Yeah, the SF guys gave us ramps that we had to throw away because
our commander was being a dickhead. Douche.
But yeah, it was so chill compared to Iraq. What are some of your opinions on all that, Reiner?
But one of the things that was way cooler about Afghanistan than Iraq was Afghanistan, they had a Pizza Hut.
Nah, Pizza Hut.
Yeah, and they had Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Starbucks or was it the
Green Bean.
Green Bean.
Green Bean, yeah. And I think there was another restaurant too, wasn't there, besides Pizza Hut?
Maybe not. I think there was one more.
I thought there was another one, but Pizza Hut was the main one.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
a pizza. It was like a little Connex hut.
Yeah, it was like a little hut.
Window where a guy would
But they made, pizza. We actually had, I mean, you had
personal
pizza.
Personal pan pizzas, but it
yeah,
was legit.
You didn't have
pizza,
to wait for the, you know, the defect hours.
You could go anytime you wanted.
Yeah, you could go anytime.
You could order it to your
Yeah, it felt like a piece of home.
Yeah,
and you could order it to the motor pool and all that stuff.
Yep.
So that was what's made it way more relaxed, and the fact we didn't get rocketed at all.
I think we got attacked like maybe twice,
but it just false like that went way over the FOB.
There's a little bus guy that would drive us to work in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a guy, so we didn't have to walk, but there was a shuttle bus. There was a time for it. If you didn't make it, you had to walk.
Yeah, but that was
But
cool.
Yeah, there's some guy would come to our motor pool.
Crappy ass stick shift old school bus that barely make it to our motor pool.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, he would come through our little our barracks and pick us up.
Yep.
Good memories, man.
And we had to take doxy pills.
Yeah, I forgot all about doxycycline, which is an antibiotic
for
to stop
against, can't remember what it was.
Malaria.
Malaria was it malaria?
Probably.
Yeah, to take it every day.
But
I guess it cured every STD, so that's why a lot of people like taking that.
Yeah, everyone loved it for
like,
all right,
STD free.
But then we smoked cigars. We got into the cigar thing. That was another thing that's way crazier about Afghanistan.
Get to appreciate a good cigar. I'll never really smoke again, but yeah, that neither, was the time I got everyone, to appreciate.
Yeah, we were super into it because when humidor, I went on,
a fancy cigar.
Yeah, I bought a humidor and I was became a member of Cigar,
that
Weekly
cigar
or
catalog,
something.
Yeah,
yeah. And we buy cigar Five Vegas and all these
all those fancy
Don
fuckers.
Julios and
mm-hmm.
And you got the Robust and the Torpedo shop. I remember learning about all of it.
Oh yeah,
but yeah. I was so into cigars that I had to give Yoder, one of our buddies, Joel.
Joel.
Yeah, I paid him $200 to watch my humidor for me while I went on R&R.
That's how serious you're
to make sure my cigars stayed at the right temperature.
Yeah.
But Afghanistan's really where I, different from Iraq, everyone just kind of asked me to do everything and I never said no. So I think people took that as
you kind of overworked. They kind of...
Yeah, so they thought I was like the puppet. Yeah. They're like, we love Ryder because he'll...
Well, you're a good worker, too, so that's kind of...
Well, that's what I mean. I was a good
You know,
worker.
They knew you were going to get it done, so they ask you, and you would say yes. So
and then I was never really a good mechanic, but I knew the vehicles, like, when parts went... Like, if I work on any random vehicle today, I'll be lost, but I worked with those vehicles so much, and I remember when stuff would break, I remember how they showed me how to fix it, and I just remember all...
Stuff out.
So when stuff came in, I was like, oh, I remember how to do that, so I seemed like a badass mechanic.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened in Iraq. And then so by the time we got to Afghanistan, like reputation had built that I was like the super badass mechanic. So then they started giving me like all these crazy jobs. And one of the cool jobs is one of the coolest things I ever did in my life. It was me and T-Rex Amsdale.
Jason
Amsdale. We got teamed up to take MRAP, which replaced the Humvees. And there was one that was blown up. The rear end was blown up. One the front end was blown up.
Oh, yeah, and you had to make
it
into one.
Yeah, we welded them back together. And,
that was cool.
Yeah, we welded them back together and ran new. We hooked all the airlines up.
Didn't you make like a time-lapse video of that?
Yeah, I made a time-lapse video. And then the last day of recording, I left my camera at the motor pool. And the next day it was gone.
Oh, man.
But we were documenting it the whole day. It took like a week.
Did you get like a medal or award or something for that?
Yeah, we got crazy... Well, they said I was supposed to get a medal. I got mentioned in the paper, the local paper or whatever.
The little FOB paper?
Yeah, but then they said I was supposed to get a medal, so they told me, like, Corey, you have to go over for... Oh, no, this was a K-loader. I forgot about the... That was a totally different thing. I became the K-loader guy. Remember
K-loader
the things
guy.
That... That scissor jack thing that lifted up? But, the MRAP, they said we were supposed to get a coin... But we just got AAMs.
It was still cool.
Army Chief Medals.
Regardless.
Yeah, there's two MRAPs that we welded together and we made one.
Made one.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass mechanicism. Like
Jesse and then
James
there's a,
Monster Garage
just
type
really
shit.
The K-Loader thing, since I mentioned it, I'll finish. There's a K-Loader thing. It was Air Force equipment. Army didn't have any manuals on it. And they wanted to use them because it's pretty much a flatbed that lifts straight up to load planes. You stick stuff on it and you load planes.
Mm-hmm.
But the Army had them, but they're Air Force equipment, and they didn't have any manuals or anything on them. So me and another guy, Jason Steffen, like, you guys are going to be masters of the K-Loader. Figure out how they work and make one of them work. Use one for parts or whatever. So me and Jason Steffen got these K-Loaders to work, and then we got one to work. And I did this crazy mission where they dropped a cannon out of that. It was the biggest cannon ever. They did an airdrop. And they used the K-Loader to do it in the Army. So they're like, Corey, you're going to get a coin and be all over in the paper.
You're the badass.
So they called me over to battalion. And it was just me and people that were on the mission.
Right.
Were just supposed to show up to watch some commander get a coin. Because he's the one who signed off on the mission. So we just had to go watch him get an award. So that's the K-Loader story.
Yeah. The only other Afghan story I really want to talk about is the piss test that we had to go through. And backstory on that is Alpha Company. There was Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember.
Alpha Bravo Charlie Delta. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, and Alpha Company were like, they're the truck drivers, and they're also somehow the drug abusers. And it got around that they're abusing hardcore, and I guess the battalion, which means every company, decided to have a massive drug test. And they decided to do this at about 2, 3 in the morning. And it was the most horrible thing, because we were all forced, like, we were just in the habit of drinking water all the time. So I'm usually getting up about that time with a morning, you know what, wanting to pee like a motherfucker. They ripped me out of bed. And I'm like, no, I gotta pee. And they're like, no, stand in formation. I'm like, I gotta fucking, I'm about to piss my pants. They force me to stay there. Can't do nothing. They march us over to the battalion. We have to force to stay there. And it's just getting worse and worse, having to hold it. I was lucky enough that as soon as, this is like 2 hours later after I'm about to blast, but they're like, all right, we need one to pee, finally. So I'm the first motherfucker to run up there blasting through people, because, I'm about to blow. And I got to go, luckily. But that was the most ridiculous piss test ever. And I know Corey showed up late, or he was at the computer lab doing some bullshit. What were you doing?
I got off work late, and I wanted to talk to my family. I hadn't talked to them in a while, so yeah. I decided, since I got off work late, they told me I didn't have to be in to work the next day till like 3 hours later than everyone else.
Yeah, so you're just,
so I was like, well, I'm going to get to sleep in. I don't get to get up my normal time. So I'll go to the internet cafe, because I know it'll be dead. It's like 3 a.m, everyone will be sleeping, to talk to my family. And so I talked to them for like an hour and a half or whatever. And then I went back to my room, and I noticed it was empty. I was like, well, this is awkward. But I just laid in bed, and then about 20 minutes after I laid in bed, someone came in and was like,
gone.
Dude, we've been looking for you for like 2 hours. We're in the middle of a piss test.
Yeah, they think you like left the fob or something.
Yeah, so they were off. So then by the time I showed up, like 3/4 of the people had already went, you know? So I didn't have to wait in line that long for the piss test.
Yeah, so you lucked out a little bit.
So I was literally like the only one in battalion that, well, yeah, you got to pee first.
Yeah, I don't know if I was first or
but
third.
But I was literally one of the only ones. It had to be only a handful. Of people
I feel that, bad for the, because I know there was more than just me, because we're all complaining and like doing the whole dog legged. Oh my god!
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was, we got like 1,000
and
people
it was
in the
like a 3-hour, 4-hour piss test, because there's like 500-600 people in the entire battalion.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that.
I mean.
So
they all got tortured, but I was one of the lucky few that got lucky, because I wasn't in my room at 3 a.m. like I should
have been damaged that day.
Yep,
that's only really horrible.
That's how contrasted Afghanistan and Iraq were.
I guess they just had so much time. Like, let's just do a massive piss test. We're not doing nothing with everybody. Who cares if everyone's standing here and a rocket comes in and kills everybody? No, that's okay. I'm off that. So we get back from Afghan, and how much longer did you have until you were a civilian?
Let's see. We got back from Afghanistan.
Well, even late. Let me stop you there. Before we get into that, what made you decide to get out? Like, because there was so much making you want to stay in. Like, no, you get out. There's no jobs. Oh, you get out. It's miserable.
Well, that was the...
Everyone seems to be trying to talk you to stay.
Yeah, that was the... Because I joined when I was so young. I was only 17. So
yeah,
didn't
even know the world.
Yeah, by the time my first 4 years was up, I was only 21. So still super young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just itching. I was like, I just want to see what the real world's like, because I don't know. Yeah. Like, everyone I graduated high school with went and did it, and I joined the military. Mm-hmm. I took a different route. It's like, I just want to see so I can compare, so I know what I want to do. So my first 4 years was up, and I was ready to get out. But at the time, they were still doing stop loss, where they call you back.
The stop loss.
And that goes for 8 years, no matter how many years active duty.
Well, can you explain stop loss real quick?
Stop loss is when you sign up, they either give you a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year contract, whatever. Mm-hmm. So many of it's active. And then when you get off active duty, you have however many years left until you reach your 8-year mark from when you signed your contract. 8 years, the cutoff. So stop loss is, say somebody has a 3-year contract and they get out and they're like, all right, go be a civilian. Well, then you're in the reserves for 5 years. Mm. And for that 5 years until you reach that 8-year mark, the Army has the ability to call you back if they need you. If they need reserves, they need backup. So everyone has 8 years. No matter what your contract says, you're owned by the Army for 8 years.
Right.
So I did my first 4, and then I wanted to get out and join the real world and do college.
Mm-hmm.
And our first sergeant at the time, Troy Sherrill, always got on us.
Good
like
Troy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's crazy out there. No one's going to survive, and you won't get a job, and it doesn't matter if you're military or not.
Better stay in. You're going to die.
Yeah, so he's scared. It's like, well, he's right. If I get out, it's like I still have 4 years left. It's like I'm going to probably find a girlfriend or something, go to college, then I'm going to get a call back to deploy.
Yeah, and have to come back.
It's like, I'd rather, I'm still young, I'm only 21. It's like, I'll just re-enlist, do another 4, and then that way when I get out, I hit my year mark, and then my life is mine. The Army can't touch me because I hit that 8-year stop loss ends. So that's the only reason I did it, is because I hated the Army so much and didn't want to get called back, so I just sucked it up and did another 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to get out after that?
Because I was still itching from when I was...
Yeah. The itchingness.
Yeah, from when I was 21 and wanted to get out the first time. Like, that never went away. I was just scared that...
You just didn't want to get stop lost.
Yeah, I didn't want to get stop lost. So when the 8 years was up, I was like, well, I'm 25 now. It's like, I haven't enjoyed the real world. It's like, so I got to get out and check it out.
How about the pain in the ass it is to actually get out of the military?
Oh, yeah. It's
harder to get out than to get in.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people, it deterred a lot of people to just stay in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way harder to get out.
You got to jump through hoops and...
Because you got to go through different stations. You got to turn in all your gear and...
Yeah, and it has to be spickle span, or you're going to have to pay for all of it.
It's got
to
be cleaner than when they issue it.
$3,000-$4,000 worth of equipment you're issued, and it's all going to be spick and span.
They issue rusty stuff, and then it's got to be clean
when you turn it in. It's got to be unrusty when you turn it in.
And then whatever you don't have, they charge you. Stay on a charge.
So you're going to leave with a bill.
So yeah, so they bill you, and then the Army has a credit card called a Star Card, and if your balance isn't zero on that, then you have to... they rip it out of your pay.
Yeah, like, automatically rip that out.
So yeah, it's just and then you have to go through medical and dental.
All these classes, there's what was the...
ACAP.
ACAP. All these mandatory classes, all these mandatory screenings.
Yeah, they give you a clearing paper with all these stations, and you have to go to dental and get your records and get cleared, and you have to go to medical. And yeah, it's just
intimidating. It's easier almost just to say, I'll just sign up for 2 more years.
Yeah, when you join, it's easy. They just throw paper in your face.
Yeah, they're here, 2 more years, here, 4 years.
Sign, 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 Yeah. Like, you want to re-enlist, just sign this paper, you're good. That's all. But when you get out, you jump through so many hoops. It actually, it makes you almost want to just quit and stay in. But
yeah, for any future hatred for the Army. People that are in, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, think about it.
So get out, and you're a civilian for a little while. And you went to school first, or did you jump right into a job?
No, I didn't do anything at first for like, well...
You kind of just hung around.
Visited. Yeah, because I got out May 2011, and I had enough vacation saved up that I wasn't supposed to get out till August, but I got out in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do anything for like 4 months at all. I just sat around and enjoyed life. Yeah, and then I think I went on leave and visited the family for a little bit, and then I came back and got a job, and then I went to school. I stopped the job and went to school. And
oh, yeah.
I stopped
Fred's school and went back and to the job.
Yeah, I worked at Fred Meyer for a little bit. And then I stopped and went to UAA.
Took classes, got some A's. Yep,
University of Alaska Anchorage.
Online, right? You took them online?
Yeah.
You got A's, didn't you?
Yeah, 4.0. And then...
joined Aves.
Yeah, and then I decided that I wanted to switch my majors, and they didn't offer the major up here.
Yeah,
I
want to be a zoo master.
Yeah, zoo.
Take care of animals.
Yeah, zoo god.
Awesome.
Zoology. But,
that's cool, man.
Yeah. Far out, man.
That's far out, man. Take care of them animals.
So anyways, I decided I wanted to switch to zoology.
Right.
So I stopped going to school. I stopped signing up for school and got a job with AFES,
mm-hmm.
which is the military's, like, supply company.
Cool, and that's where we're at now. And you have 50 days left in Alaska or something
like
that?
Yeah, it sucks. I'll be back. But, it's like 54 days or something like that.
And you're leaving us. Leaving the great state of Alaska to go to crappy New Mexico.
Yeah. Shitty-ass New Mexico.
How long? So she's still your wife? You're married to, for those who don't know, he's married to an Army woman.
She's medic.
Medic. So is she getting stationed out there? Or is she getting out?
Yeah, she's getting out, but... She's technically, well, because she's going to be in the reserve because she didn't hit that 8-year mark yet. She's only been in for 5, so she's got 3 left. But, so she gets out and she'll be in the reserve unit for New Mexico that's near her house where we're going. But she won't be active. Like, she just has to go to drill, like, once a month or whatever.
Just 1 month.
Yeah, show up in uniform once a month.
That's cool that she gets to do it there.
Yeah. So she'll be a civilian, but
she's
got
to go to school. Is that her plan?
Yes. Yeah, she's going to go to school.
You're going to get a job or go to school? Or...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you said the zoology thing.
Yeah, I'm going to do the zoology thing. But if, for whatever reason, like, they don't have classes when I first get there, then don't have any classes left for me, then I'll see if I can get a new AFES job.
You guys have plans past that, or is that pretty much what you're looking at going from there?
Well, I just want to get a zoology degree.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to stay in New Mexico. I don't like it. I've been visited a couple times. It sucks ass.
Not for you.
It's an armpit. Yeah, I want to come back to Alaska.
Yeah, but you'd like to.
Yeah, I'm going to. Now it's happening.
Cool there.
But definitely when I get that zoology degree.
Yeah.
I want to move back to Alaska and
at the zoo.
Yeah,
there.
Work at the zoo or I don't know how much they pay, research.
If it's worth it or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Cool. We're getting near the end of the podcast, so let's talk about some of the crazier shit, like just living in the barracks life, how it totally relates to, well, I don't know, because I wasn't a college dorm partier. Yeah. But barracks life, I'm sure, is pretty similar.
Yeah, pretty, if not crazier.
Before we were even allowed to drink, we were total alcoholics, just because, yeah, I mean, that's all we could do every weekend. It's like, okay, let's sit around and just drink until we're retarded, because there's nothing else to do.
Yep.
Yeah, do you have any cool stories about barracks life or anything like that before you wrap this up?
We did had so many. I mean, all of our memories are from
the barracks. Yeah, they could do its own podcast on actual retarded story. Like, we just, we dress up in ridiculous costumes.
Yeah, and go around from building to building and...
Just go building to building, like, retards. We should have got our asses beat,
CJ would
just sneak
in people's room and be like, hey, what are you doing,
bro? Hey, bros, you got beers? Let's party! Random barracks rooms.
I threatened one of our buddies, Chuck Gable, who's a Gold Glove boxer.
Golden Glove boxer, he threatened to box.
I was always, writing... Call him Glassjaw Gable, and I made t-shirts. And
got his ass beat.
We boxed in the hallway, and he fractured three of my ribs.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of barracks
brawling. Yeah, barracks life was, it was nuts.
The early days, everyone in the whole barracks, top to bottom floor, like three floors, would get wasted, and there would just be a huge party. People would be putting on boxing gloves.
It was so crazy that medics... Medics were giving people IV drips of alcohol.
IVs in rooms.
They were giving people IV drips of alcohol to get them drunk faster.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was in on it to get drunk. It was...
we were a ridiculous party from Friday till Sunday night, and then Monday morning, you'd have to run 10 miles.
Wake up and serve your country.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Everyone ordered... We just got hammered, we met, fucked off, and ordered pizza.
Yeah, I don't know
Chinese,
how we did
that's
it.
All we did all the time.
I wish I could still do that, but metabolism is shot. I always knew it was coming.
It was 10 times better than high school years.
Well, all right, we're just about at an hour, so I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks, Corey, for coming in.
Yeah, anytime. I can't wait for the next one. Hopefully I'm on number three.
Yeah.
Podcast number three. Let's do it.
Definitely.
Sometime soon.
Before you go, for sure, at least 7 or 8 or something.
Yeah.
Because this is a lot of fun, a lot more relaxing than the last one I did. I'm a little more relaxed now, of course, but
yeah, that wasn't bad. That was my first podcast.
Yeah, the regular podcast with CJ Elliott, my guest Corey. Thanks for coming in again. I already said it, but thanks for all our listeners. Join us next time. Bye. All right, so that was my second podcast, and I'm starting to get an idea of the direction I'm trying to go with this show. I'd definitely like to get some more vets on and hear their stories. But I'd also like to dive into some other things I'm interested in, such as nutrition and fitness, some big elements that have changed my life since joining. I'd like to get to all that, so thanks, Corey, for being on episode number 2 of the regular podcast with CJ Elliott. And if you're enjoying these, keep listening. I think I'm getting better, hopefully, and hopefully you're enjoying them. And I'll keep doing them. And all right, later. Bye.